Today on Real Radio.
I have got to be very, very careful to not allow the fact that this is going to go on the radio to influence what I say. So having said that, what I'm going to teach this morning is pure Bible.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse series through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. We're in a series taken from chapter 7. It's called God, Marriage, and Divorce. The Apostle Paul explains the worldview on marriage just the way the Almighty intended it. He then goes on to explain the benefits of being married or remaining single and how God can use believers in both situations. In the section we're focusing on today, we learn why it is the will of God for married couples to remain married. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called God, Marriage, and Divorce, The Dangers of Splitting Up a Home.
I know that I've played around with you from time to time and said, I would say to you, turn to 1 Californians chapter 7. And boy, that applies right now more than ever. 1 Corinthians or 1 Californians chapter 7 in our Bibles. And if you're new to this study, you might find the intensity and the topics rather shocking. And yet that's the reason why we went to 1 Corinthians, is because of the power that it has toward our age and the time in which you and I live in. And this morning we're looking at a message entitled God, Marriage, and Divorce. God, Marriage, and Divorce. And we're going to be specifically talking about the dangers of splitting up a home or splitting up a marriage. Why? Because it was so prevalent in Corinth 2,000 years ago. But I got to tell you up front right now this morning, I've got my notes, and I'll stick to my notes, but I am not going to race through my notes. We will get as far as the Lord wills. How about that? Regarding this study today or next week, however long it takes us. For this one reason, I need you to hear this. Whenever there's a message delivered at this church, number one, at the end of the day, on Sundays, for example, a determination is made as to which one of the messages goes out onto the radio. You can't put all three. One of them's got to be selected. Are you with me? A decision has to be made. And I have to tell you that sometimes in messages, they have to be edited because the world outside these walls cannot handle what you guys are used to as a church. And personally, I don't get too much involved in that. But I got to tell you something right now this morning. The topic that we're going to be touching on here, maybe now in the next week, I don't know how long it'll take us. I need you to hear the fact that as a ministry, as a pastor, having a wife, by the way, who's extremely involved in the lives of the women of this church, the situation regarding marriage and divorce in the church is at a catastrophic state. When I say the church, I mean the church of the Lord in America, for that matter. Not just here. We're not exempt from marital issues or problems, and yet this morning, I have got to be very, very careful to not allow the fact that this is going to go on the radio to influence what I say. So having said that, what I'm going to teach this morning is pure Bible. And you might say, you might be tempted this morning by thinking, well, that's 2,000-year-old data. Doesn't apply to my life. Or you might be tempted, listen up, everybody, you might be tempted to be influenced by the culture that you and I live in, that you'll pick and choose what the Bible means or has to say to you regarding the culture that you and I are in. And our culture is not to speak to us about what the Bible means. Do you hear me? Our Bible is to speak into our lives so that we can live through this culture. Amen. And so what I'm going to be saying today is about as politically and maybe culturally incorrect as it can possibly be. But church family, understand something right here, right now. that marriage, though it's very, very common and popular, was invented by God. Even though non-believers get married, they are actually entering into a state, an institution that has been created by the God they don't know. And he has defined it. Dr. Phil does not define what marriage is. Oprah Winfrey does not have the authority to define what marriage is. Bill O'Reilly or Whoopi Goldberg does not have the authority. We are to understand marriage based upon the definition of the one who invented it. We're not to make it up. We do not have that liberty or that freedom. Chapter 6 and the opening of the first 9 verses of chapter 7 had to do with sexual immorality. Now, Paul is assuming that you know all that, and so he launches now into chapter 7, verse 10. Follow along with me. Now, to the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, a wife is not to depart from her husband. But even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. And by the way, you can change the words wife, husband, wife. And a husband is not to divorce his wife. But to the rest, that word rest means to the mixed marriages, to the others, to those who are married to non-believers, that's what that word means, to the rest, I, not the Lord, say, and I'll explain that, if any brother has a wife who does not believe and she is willing to live with him, let him, the Christian, not divorce her, the non-Christian. And a woman who has a husband who does not believe, if he's willing to live with her, let her not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but now they are holy. Verse 15, but if the unbeliever departs, the unbeliever says, I'm out of here, can't take this Christian stuff. Let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. Verse 16, for how do you know, O wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, O husband, whether you will save your wife? But as God has distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk. And so I ordain in all the churches. That's powerful. Apostolic authority right there. Was anyone called while circumcised? That's Jewish, being a Jew. Did you come to Jesus being Jewish? Let him not become uncircumcised. Was anyone called while uncircumcised? That's a Gentile. A Gentile accepts Christ. Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing. And uncircumcision is nothing. But keeping the commandments of God is what matters. Let each one remain in the same calling in which he was called. Were you called while a slave? By the way, slavery was practiced in the entire world at that time. It's still practiced in most of the world today. Do not be concerned about it, but if you can be made free, rather use it. For he who is called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who is called while free is the Lord's slave or Christ's slave. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men, brethren. Let each one remain with God in the state in which he was called. This is deep stuff, you guys. Serious stuff. I need you to take a deep breath, and I need you to get ready. I need you to get ready to take notes, and I need you to be thinking. You really got to think. This is deep, deep stuff. And I got to tell you, man, the Bible is awesome because it addresses everything needful regarding a good, strong, happy life. You will not find any other book in all of history with the authority of God speaking to man, us, about relationships. Husbands to wives, wives to husbands, children, relationships, but the Bible. It's amazing. It's been well said that as the family goes, so goes a nation. And as the nation goes, so goes the world we live in. And is that not true? As a family goes, this concerns me. I have to tell you, outside of God sending a revival to America, personally, I have no hope for the United States for its future without God intervening. Why? Because I don't know if you get a chance to talk with young people. I don't know if you get a chance to go to university campuses or high school campuses. But the dysfunctionalism of the young people of today, 40 years of age and under, is horrific. Regarding their worldview, regarding what they think about marriage, regarding what they think about family, it's catastrophic. You and I are living in a state which years ago was famous for being the divorce state. Did you know that? California had the highest divorce rate of any state in America. California invented the easy divorce laws. California, Orange County, if you've been married 7.5 years, your marriage is considered a success in Orange County. That's pathetic. By the way, I'm happy to announce this morning, thinking about it, Lisa and I are coming up on 32 years of marriage here in a couple months. And thank you. We were married very young. I was 21. She was 19. She still looks 19, which I'm very happy about that, by the way. But don't anyone fool you. Everyone's got their ups and downs and their challenging times. It's how you handle them. And the young generation today has learned something extremely, extremely proficient at quitting, giving up, throwing in the towel. There was a cartoon I saw in preparation for this message, and the father is about ready to give his daughter away. She's all dressed up in her wedding gown, and the father says, "Honey, can you guys make the marriage last long enough for me to pay for it?" Isn't that sad? People go into commitments in our culture because they have been taught or raised up, well, try your best, and if it doesn't work, just walk away. I want you to know something. God condemns that way of thinking regarding marriage. If that's what you're thinking, don't get married. In a moment, I'm going to show you a video clip. Let me give you a little bit of background. It was the most watched wedding in history. It was the 6th most viewed internet event in history. 2.5 billion people, that's 1/3 of the Earth's population, watched it live, of Prince William and Kate. Now, I'm going to let you hear something, and I wanted to set the tone of our study in this little series. So let's put our eyes to the screen.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here in the sight of God and in the face of this congregation to join together this man and this woman in holy matrimony, which is an honorable estate instituted of God Himself, signifying unto us the mystical union that is betwixt Christ and His church. Which holy estate Christ adorned and beautified with his presence and first miracle that he wrought in Cana of Galilee, and is commended in holy writ to be honorable among all men, and therefore is not by any to be enterprised nor taken in hand unadvisedly, lightly, or wantonly, but reverently, discreetly, soberly, and in the fear of God, duly considering the causes for which matrimony was ordained.
Listen to this.
First, it was ordained for the increase of mankind, according to the will of God, and that children might be brought up in the fear and nurture of the Lord, and to the praise of His holy name. Secondly, it was ordained in order that the natural instincts and affections implanted by God should be hallowed and directed aright, that those who are called of God to this holy estate should continue therein in pureness of living, Thirdly, it was ordained for the mutual society, help and comfort that the one ought to have of the other, both in prosperity and adversity, into which holy estate these two persons present come now to be joined.
I require and charge you both, as ye will answer at the dreadful day of judgment, when the secrets of all hearts shall be disclosed, that if either of you know any impediment why ye may not be lawfully joined together in matrimony, ye do now confess it. For be ye well assured that so many as are coupled together otherwise than God's word doth allow, are not joined together by God, neither is their matrimony lawful. Who giveth this woman to be married to this man? I, William Arthur Philip Louis.
I, William Arthur Philip Louis.
Take thee, Catherine Elizabeth.
Take thee, Catherine Elizabeth.
To my wedded wife.
To my wedded wife.
To have and to hold from this day forward.
To have and to hold from this day forward.
For better, for worse.
For better, for worse.
For richer, for poorer.
For richer, for poorer.
In sickness and in health.
In sickness and in health.
To love and to cherish.
To love and to cherish.
Till death us do part.
Till death us do part.
According to God's holy law.
According to God's holy law.
And thereto I give thee my troth.
And thereto I give thee my troth.
Let us pray.
Watch this.
O eternal God, creator and preserver of all mankind, giver of all spiritual grace, the author of everlasting life, send thy blessing upon these thy servants, this man and this woman whom we bless in thy name, that living faithfully together, they may surely perform and keep the vow and covenant betwixt them made, whereof this ring given and received is a token and pledge, and may ever remain in perfect love and peace together, and live according to thy laws, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Watch this. This is cool. Listen to him.
Those whom God hath joined together, let no man put asunder.
Wow. Awesome is right. Did you hear him say that you'll stand, you'll appear before that dreadful day and the day of judgment? And the entire presentation was in light of the vows that they were about to take. Our culture has completely undermined all that, you guys. And so as we get into this study, number one, I want you to mark this down. God, marriage, and divorce. Why is marriage such a big deal? Verses 10 to 13. Will you write that down? It's obviously a question. Why is marriage such a big deal? Why? Our young culture today is saying marriage is no big deal. It's nothing at all. And for some reasons, I'll agree with them. Young people today say marriage is no big deal because I've seen my parents and they're on their second, third marriage. It doesn't matter. The vows don't matter. The rings don't matter. The commitment doesn't matter. Why is marriage such a big deal? God says it's a big deal. Number one reason, listen, it's a spiritual union designed by God. You heard that as the Bishop of Canterbury made announcement, made presentation. Verses 10 and 11, now to the married I command. Listen to Paul. Imagine Paul right now in his apostolic authority. You saw the pomp and the glory of the Church of England a second ago. What about this? He says, I command, yet not I, but the Lord. A wife is to not depart from her husband. Why? It's a spiritual union. But even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. And a husband is not to divorce his wife. God says it's a holy institution. It's a spiritual union. Listen to this. When you grab toothpaste and you squeeze it out of the tube, try to put it back in. Try someday to put toothpaste back in the tube. It ain't gonna happen. No matter what you might think of marriage, no matter what your estimation of marriage might be, you need to understand this right now. God says it is his creation and it is a spiritual union. And it's a spiritual union even in the sense where two non-believers, if they come together in the state of the institution of marriage, you say, no, but we got married in Vegas or we got married at the courthouse. We got married. That doesn't matter to God. Do you understand? Church family, listen, it is an institution that someone says, I'm going to enter into it. They may or may not be thinking about God, but God is there. He's the inventor of it. It's like Mr. Mercedes and Mr. Benz. They build a car. And when you get inside that car and you sit inside that car, you have entered into their creation. Or Ford, where I come from, Henry Ford. Right? You enter into that. God says, this is marriage. And church family, right here, I have no jurisdiction over any other people but this church family, right here, right now, today, in these services. Number one thing is we need to be praying and seeking God's will and finding out what God's heart is regarding you or me getting married. Now listen, as we go through this teaching, some of you are going to be very discouraged. Don't be very discouraged. Some of you might be convicted. Let conviction have its healing power. Some of you who, I'm thinking about those who, by the end of the three services last week, so many people had come to know Jesus, their life started over last week, brand new. There will be maybe thoughts today that will arise in your heart and in our next study together that you might say, oh my goodness, this places me outside of God's blessings. And I didn't know that's what I was getting myself into. Or listen, God will speak to us regarding these things. And there's always room and opportunity for forgiveness if we've made a mistake or if somehow we entered into something not taking it into consideration. But know this from the beginning. Genesis 2, verse 24 says, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Remember that picture of the toothpaste out of the tube. God says that when a man and a woman commit to one another and they consummate that marriage in body, soul, and spirit, God says in the Bible, and he's not asking for my opinion, and he's not asking for yours. God says that when that happens, they are welded. The word we would use would be today welded. God has welded them together. And to separate them, listen, the word to separate, do you remember when the bishop wrapped that cord around their arms and he says, what God has joined together, let no man separate? That word separate in Greek and Hebrew means to tear part of your flesh out. It means this. Imagine for a moment that something comes into my life and it becomes part of my cheekbone, part of my skin, right here in the side of my face. In fact, you can't even tell. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, there's a pair of pliers that comes and grabs my cheek. And unnaturally, think of it, rips out the side of my face by brute force, and it leaves a gaping, unnatural hole in the side of my face. That is the picture that the Greek and Hebrew words paint regarding a divorce.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study that takes a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7, where Paul explains how and why it is the will of God for married couples to remain married. The title of today's study, God, Marriage, and Divorce, The Dangers of Splitting Up a Home. It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look through this New Testament letter written by Paul. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, in case you're wondering, we do offer this series called God, Marriage, and Divorce on DVD. In fact, it's a 4-DVD set. You're going to like it. God, Marriage, and Divorce, subtitled The Dangers of Splitting Up a Home. And our offer? For your gift of any amount to the broadcast outreach of Real Radio, that's right, any amount, we'll send you this 4-part series on DVD, God, Marriage, and Divorce, The Dangers of Splitting Up a Home. It's a 4-DVD set, and you are going to like it. Visit us at realradioactive.org, that's realradioactive.org, and then click on the button right there on the right that says Special Offer, realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, if you'd like to call us, 877-RR-RADIO, that's 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd like, you could write to us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact is real easy to find right there at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.